Hello! Thanks for tuning in to episode 3 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. I'm Summer, and you can find me on Ravelry as Summer Yarns, SummerYarns, and on Instagram as Summer's Picks, SummersPix. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome! And for those of you who are returning, thanks so much for coming back. Show notes can be found on the blog at www.kitchenstitches.com. So how's everyone doing this week? My week has been pretty uneventful, minus some technical difficulties at work, which have made life for everyone a little bit complicated. And I won't go into those because I try my best to keep work and home separate. But suffice it to say, I would like to kill... Well, no, let's be nice. I'm frustrated, as is everybody else at work. So, segments today will include works in progress, new on the needles, in the kitchen, and maybe just some random chatter here and there. I cannot believe it, but I do not have one finished object. I say I can't believe it. I would say probably more weeks than not, I actually don't have a finished object. But this, you know, with Nerd Wars, I am trying to finish projects, and it's not looking very good for this round for Nerd Wars. I would say there is one definite project that will be done, and if I get lucky, maybe some others. I may try to whip out some preemie hats at the last minute just so I can have some stuff done. So, not one finished object. That's mostly because I had a serious case of starditis this week. Which leads us into works in progress. So, works in progress. Let's see. At this point, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 knitting projects, which is more than I normally have. I generally try to limit myself to 7, and I'll get into that in a minute. But currently, I have actually 8 knitting projects. I actually ran out of project bags, which is a... It's a problem. I really need to clean off some of these things from my needles and finish up. So yes, 8 knitting projects, 1 cross stitch project, and then I'm counting the spinning I'm doing as a project, even though it's really just a here and there kind of thing. I'm not a serious spinner yet, but I am enjoying what I'm doing. I'll talk about that in a minute also. So let's see. First on the needles is still my vitamin D. I'm not going to go into all of the yarn and the designer and all of that in every episode, especially for things that have been on the needles a while. You can find all of that in the show notes. So my vitamin D, I am currently, I think I counted last night, and have about 39 rows left on the body, plus the edging. At this rate, that's not very far, especially considering how long I've been working on this. However, on a good day, I get maybe 3 rows done. So, unless I dropped everything else and worked on this, this is still a ways away from being done. I really wanted to get it done by the end of the year, and I could if I really focused on it, but I don't think that's going to happen. So, maybe January? We'll just see what happens. If things work out and I get a long stretch of it at a time, then I can finish by the end of the year. My Trillion, I am making slow but steady progress on that. I think I was about a third of the way done when I recorded last week. And this way, I am about halfway done. It does seem to be, you would think that it would go slower the farther along it gets as the rows get longer, but it seems to me like it's actually getting faster. And I kind of judge this by how much yarn I have to roll off the ball, wind off the ball. I've got, it seems, because one row takes more yarn, it seems like the second half of the ball is going faster. I guess that does make sense. So maybe I can finish this one by the end of the day on Thursday and have that as a finished project too. Not super hopeful, but maybe. Next up are my Cairn wrist warmers. They're actually called the Cairn mitts, I believe. And these, I have, I think last week I had finished the first mitt, and this, by at this point, I have put in the waste yarn for the thumb on the second mitt. And if I were to get busy on these, maybe I could finish them tonight. Probably it won't be tonight, but the next time I work on them, they should get finished. These are the one project that I know that I can get finished and have turned in for Nerd Wars. Let's see, what else? My Little Pumpkin sock, these got very little love this week. I finished the cuff and I made it about halfway through one of the pattern repeats. If you've seen this pattern before, it is, the pattern repeats, well, by the title you might guess, look like little pumpkins. And each pattern repeat is two pumpkins, like, stacked on top of each other. So I finished, I think I finished one pumpkin. Now that I'm actually on this section, I think it'll probably go a little bit faster. Suffice it to say, these are not going to be done by Thanksgiving, but that's okay. They're a fun knit, and because of the color I chose, even though it is a fall-ish pattern with the pumpkins, I could wear them anytime. Next up are my Knitted Heart Vanilla Socks, and these are the ones that I'm doing in the Opal Van Gogh, and I have made even less progress on these. No, that's okay because I've designated these as my car knitting, so they've really been stuck in my purse, and they haven't gotten much love at all. I think actually the only time I knit on them this week was today when we went to lunch, and I think I got maybe 3 rounds done on them. But I did actually stick them in the console in the car so that they will be there all the time, and I'll hopefully, you know, here and there. We haven't been running around as much as we had been. It's a busy time of year for my kids and my husband, who is a teacher, and with the holidays coming up. But also with the holidays coming up, we will probably be doing more shopping. And, of course, we're doing a little bit of traveling at Christmas. So they'll get done. But I'm not in any hurry on these socks. I had started last week the Monster Cowl, which is I'm doing with the Suburban Stitcher podcast with her Monster Cowl, K-A-L. And I've made a little progress on this. This, if I were working on it all by itself, this would be flying off the needles. It's a really, really fun pattern. And I love watching. It's kind of like with self-striping yarn. You just like to see the different stripes appear. But because I have 8 different projects on the needles, it's only getting a little bit of love at a time. I've currently finished 3 pattern repeats, and there's a total of 11. So I'm about, what is that, about a third of the way done, I guess. The only other thing that I had in the needles from last time, well, it's not on the needles, it was my spinning. I did sit down and spin a little bit more of the Romney from Marshmallow Meadows. I'm really happy with how this is spinning, and I don't know if it's because I'm getting better, or if it's the prep of this fiber, or if it's the new spindle, because it is definitely a better spindle than I had spun with before. But for whatever reason, it seems to be more consistent, and I think I'm going to be actually really happy with this when I'm done. Because I only have an ounce of it, I'm not going to ply it. I think I'm going to see if I can find instructions on how to fold it and have a fold single. And with that, I might actually have enough to do a small project with it, even if it's just a little animal or, you know, a little softie or something like that. But I am very pleased with my progress on that. So I'm still on my works in progress, but I do have some new on the needles. I have started the Friendship Socks pattern by Lauren McMorty, she's a Limnet Crochet Designs. I am doing this in the Brazen Stitchery self-striping sock yarn that I got at the Kid and New Fiber Festival, and this is in the Sparkly Jolly Twinkle Jingly colorway. I just love saying that. Excuse me. I have finished the toe, and I am partially through the first pattern repeat. I am loving this yarn. I think it's very possible that the base that Brazen Stitchery uses is the same base that Yeah. Hiwassee Creek Dye Works uses. I'm not 100% sure, of course, you know, since I don't know the bases, but it feels very similar, and that's one of my favorites, so I'm clearly enjoying this one as well. It's this, if you don't remember from last week, the colors on this, it's a really, they're just very, it's a red and green. They're very Christmassy colors. I said it was closer to a burgundy, but it's not. They're just traditional red and green Christmas colors. But the colors are very rich, and it's just, they're working up so nicely. I'm very, very happy with these. And I'm also using a size 1, no, I'm using a size 0 needle, which I don't normally do. Nor I have very small feet, and most of the sock knitting I do is for myself. And up till now, I've been using a size 1, and I started out doing 64 or 60 stitches, and I had gone down to 56 stitches on a size 1 was my standard. And they fit okay. They fit, some of them fit pretty well. But for these, I decided to go down to a size 0 and go up to 64 stitches. And I think I'm going to be very happy with it. It's hard to tell when all I've really got is a toe done. They seem a little big, but when I made my seaweed socks, also a Lauren McMorty design back in the summer, they seemed pretty big too when I just had that amount, and those actually fit, you know, they're probably my favorite socks to wear. So we'll just have to see. If it turns out after I've done a little bit that they are not fitting very well, I'll just rip them out and I'll do 56 stitches instead. The one thing that I've had a problem with on this pattern is the toe. And this is not a problem with the pattern. It's not a problem with how Lauren wrote the pattern. It is me. I must have done something wrong with the cast on. I used Judy's Magic cast on. And one side of the toe, it feels like almost like a dropped stitch or something, even though I have the right number of stitches. So about halfway through the toe, I kind of did some weird stitch together type thing to tighten it up a little bit. And it still looks a little wonky, but it'll be okay, I think. Funnily enough, I believe when I did the seaweed socks, I think I had the same problem with the first toe, and I don't even notice it when I wear those socks. So it'll be okay. The other thing that I cast on, I mentioned last week that I wanted to, is the Breakaway Cowl by Jenna Krupar. She is Retro Lemon on Ravelry. I am using Cascade 220 Quattro in the color 9435, which is a green colorway. I would say I haven't really examined the plies too much, but even though it's called Quattro, I think it's only three different shades of green plied together. I think maybe it has two strands or one are the same color and then two other colors. And so I'm sure there's a word for how that looks, maybe kind of a marbledy color a little bit, but it looks really pretty. The only problem I have with this, and I don't have any problem with the pattern at all, which is extremely well written and so pretty, but the yarn itself, it is Cascade 220, and it's just not as soft as I would like for a cowl, and I'm really hoping that once I soak it, that it will be better. Speaking of soaking, I just remembered that I have some socks sitting in my sink. I'll have to take care of those when I finish recording. What else? Oh, nothing else on the needles, but I did start the 12 Days of Christmas sampler. I don't have the patterns, I mean, I don't have the, what do you call them, little squares yet. I have, these cross stitch patterns work. Gosh, I'm so sorry there. She sends out the border when you first place the order. If you order it at the time when the pattern first comes out, you will get the border a few weeks before the rest of the pattern comes out, so you can start working on that. And then each week you'll get a few more, you know, a few days of a pattern. Excuse me, I hope this isn't rumbling. My cat is coming for a visit. This is Sherman. You may hear him croak. Anyway, so I started working on the border on that, and I'm about a quarter of the way through that. This is the first one of these. I've done the summer sampler, and I did the Halloween sampler. This is the first one where I actually did the border first. For the others, I just waited until the pattern came out. I think, in both of those cases, I didn't buy the pattern until the club started. For this one, though, I actually had the yarn on hand, so I started it. I won't finish it before the pattern starts coming out, and once that happens, I'll just start working on the individual days and then pick up the border as I get to it. And it's working well for me. So one of the things I wanted to talk about here when I'm talking about my knitting is how regimented I can be. I really like to compartmentalize, and I really like structure, which is kind of funny. If you saw my house, and, well, I would say if you saw my desk, but my desk has been clean for almost 2 months now. If you saw my house, I am not tidy. I am not organized. I tend to be cluttered and messy. But as far as things like this go, I really have to have a schedule. And I think my son has ADHD, and I suspect I do too, even though I'm undiagnosed. And lists and structures and routines really help me cope when I have too much information. So when I have a lot of projects on the needles or a lot of books I want to read, I like to make lists, and I like to have a plan for how I conquer them. And one of the things I do, I have my list of works in progress, and I go down them and I work on them in order, which may seem a little crazy, but it is how I deal with it. Sometimes I do this by day. I'll say, on Monday I'm only going to work on my vitamin D, and that'll be the only project I work on. But then, especially when I start getting too many projects, and, if I did that where I only worked on one a day, it's going to be a week between each time I get to work on a particular project, I start doing it a little differently. And that's why I said back a few minutes ago, I generally like to keep it, I actually like, my ideal number of projects to have on the needle is 6 or fewer. That way, if I do decide to go through it and designate, this one I'll work on this day, this one on this day, they don't fall on the same day of the week. So if I were working on 6 projects and I worked on my vitamin D on Monday, the next week I would be working on it on a Sunday, if that makes sense. And the reason I like doing it that way is because, if you have the same schedule every week, that some days of the week are particularly bad. So if Monday nights are really bad, or, I have something going on at lunch or something like that, then I only get that same small amount of knitting time with that same project all the time. So it doesn't grow as much as, say, a project that I have a lot of knitting time, like something that I work on the weekends. So that's why that's my ideal. 8 is really too many, and I want to get the Karen mitts off the needle so I can move on to other things. What I'm doing right now, though, as opposed to saying I am going to work on this project on this day, I'm basing it on knitting time. I don't know if that makes sense. So let's take a regular work day for me. I'll bring one project to work, and that's what I'll work on my break, or if I don't go out over lunch and have some knitting time over lunch, then that's what I'll work on. And then when I get home, I'll pick up a different project and work on that at night. So during the work week, I'm usually getting knitting time on 2 different projects per day, plus my my cross-stitch and the way I'm dealing with that. Basically, if you've done cross-stitch before, each length of embroidery floss, generally, you've got 6 plies, and you generally use 2 plies at a time. So I'll cut my length of yarn, and then when I've done all 3 sets of 2 ply, then that's how much I'll do that night. Y'all are going to think that I'm just absolutely crazy with all of these plans. But I might be. Maybe just a little bit. I mentioned weekdays I'm generally getting two knitting projects worked on at a time. Over the weekends, it's two or three. Sometimes, depending on what we've got going on during the day, I might get three. Like, let's see, I don't remember what I did yesterday. Today, I've worked on my Trillion, and I've worked on the cross stitch, and I'll work on the Care and Mitts tonight. So it's kind of like a normal, like a work week day for me. Yesterday, I think I might have gotten more done. I know I worked on my vitamin D at night, and I worked on, I don't remember what I worked on. Maybe my little pumpkin? I don't remember. Anyway, actually, I could take a look at this. I worked on the Monster Cowl a little bit, and yeah, I think I worked on the little pumpkins. Anyway, so there's a little bit of a look inside my crazy brain. What is up next? I have no enabling this week, considering that I shopped a lot at Kid and You. I haven't actually done much. I did order two things, and I'll talk about them a little more once they come in. I will mention what they are. I ordered a skein of yarn from Desert Vista Dye Works that my son picked out, and I'm not quite sure what I'll do with it. He says he probably won't wear socks, but he might wear a hat or wrist warmers. So we'll see when the yarn comes in. The other thing that I ordered is from Sock Bunny Studios. I ordered her candy corn yarn, which may seem a little off kilter because it's not candy corn season anymore, but I have really wanted some candy corn yarn, and at the time when she was selling it earlier, I didn't have the money or I didn't want to spend it on that, so I didn't buy it. But she's having a sale for Black Friday, and everything's 50% off, and you can check out her Instagram if you want to get that code. I went ahead and picked it up because it was a really good price. So now I have my candy corn yarn for next fall, so I'll stash that away. And I've already talked about it. Now, I wasn't going to talk about it, but oh well. I'll talk about it next week when hopefully it'll come in and I can actually tell you more about the yarn itself. In the kitchen, there is absolutely nothing earth-shattering in terms of recipes this week. Just normal weekday dinners. I tried a few new recipes. They were okay, but nothing earth-shattering. So I thought instead of talking about what I actually cooked, I'll talk about, you get to hear more about my idiosyncrasies. I'm going to talk about me and my relationship with vegetables. And Mom, if you're listening, you can laugh at this because I'm sure this made your life so easy when I was a child. But I am one of these people who have always really had a hard time with vegetables. I can remember my grandmother making me eat butter beans or lima beans, whatever you want to call them. I'm from the South. They're butter beans. I remember having her sitting and making me eat those, and I can remember being made to eat green beans and gagging on them, and just, oh, it was awful. I used to get in trouble because I would smear my cream corn all over the plate, thinking that if it was smeared thin enough, my mom wouldn't know that I hadn't eaten it. But she was smarter than that, so she would just take my plate and scrape it all back up together. It was not a fun time. I did not like vegetables. The biggest thing that has been my problem, and I don't know if you even consider this a vegetable, but it is my biggest food aversion, are onions. I actually had a blog for a while called Hold the Onions, Please. I cannot stand onions. I mean, this is a lifelong aversion. I apparently, according to either my mom or my brother or somebody, I did not always hate onions. But for as long as I can remember, I have hated them. To the point that I will gag. I mean, literally, if I am eating a piece of pizza and I find an onion on it, I can't handle it. I will have to quit eating, or at least quit eating that piece. It's a real issue. The biggest thing for me is the texture. I can handle the taste of onions. I actually put onion powder in recipes, so it's not a problem with the taste. It's the texture. I cannot stand it. But it's more than, it's the texture combined with the taste. And not good. That and bell peppers. I'm also, the level of aversion to bell peppers is about the same. I don't know what it is. Can't stand either one of those. But this isn't about my aversions. This is going to be positive. One of the things that I have discovered in the past several years is that vegetables that I have always thought I hated, I have learned that if I roast them or broil them, I actually like them. One of the, I think the first vegetable that I found this about were Brussels sprouts. My only experience in the past with Brussels sprouts had been probably boiled, maybe steamed, I'm not sure, but I never liked them at all. But I had, I think it was a Cooking Light magazine several years ago. It would have to have been more than 5 years ago because I was at my previous job. I saw a recipe for either broiled or roasted Brussels sprouts, I don't remember which, and they just looked really good, and I don't know what it was about them, but I decided that I wanted to try them that way. And I followed the recipe, and I don't remember what was in this particular recipe, but generally how I do them is I'll slice them in half and sprinkle them with some olive oil, salt and pepper, maybe a little bit of garlic, maybe some balsamic vinegar, and roast them until they're caramelized. And I could seriously eat them like popcorn. It is one of my favorite things in the world. And I've learned that a lot of other vegetables I can do that with too. Cauliflower, which I don't really hate cauliflower regardless. I don't like it boiled, but I'll eat it raw and I'll eat it other ways. But when it's roasted, it changes the vegetable so completely. Green beans, like I mentioned a little while ago, I hated them as a child and I still won't eat them out of a can. But I've learned, you know, if given the choice, I will roast them. But I've learned that I like them steamed and with sauce on them, as long as they're not out of a can, I think they're, I'm fine with them. Asparagus is another one. I'm still not a huge fan of asparagus just because I haven't cooked it very much, but I will eat it now if it's in, you know, if it's cooked that way. So if you are like me and you've always thought you hated vegetables, give them a try, roasted or broiled. I think you'll be surprised. Let's see. Oh yeah, I was going to talk about Thanksgiving meal planning. I'll talk more about this next week after the fact. But as for those of you in the United States are gearing up for Thanksgiving planning, Thanksgiving meal planning, I just thought I'd talk about our plan. We are not very adventurous. We have the traditional Thanksgiving meal. We have a turkey, which I learned a couple of years ago to dry brine, and that turned out really well. So I'll do that again this year. And I found the recipe for that in Food Network magazine. If you would like to follow me on Pinterest, I assume that I'm Summer Newland on Pinterest, SummerNewland. And you can follow my board. I started one that's Food Network magazine recipes, and in that particular board, I do have a link to Food Network's turkey recipes, and there's a dry brine in there that I use. We also always have Sister Schubert Parker House rolls and a spinach casserole, which is spinach and cream cheese and Parmesan cheese and butter and breadcrumbs on top. And we generally do the traditional green bean casserole, which I don't eat because if you're familiar with this casserole, not only does it have canned green beans, it also has French fried onions on top. Double whammy for me. I'm not going to eat it. but my family likes it, so I'll make it for them. See, I am such a great wife and such a great mom. What else do we... We generally will have mashed potatoes and gravy. And cranberry sauce. We always have cranberry sauce. And we don't do the cranberry sauce out of the can. We actually make fresh cranberry sauce. And if you've never done that, I highly recommend that too. Because it is so easy. It takes literally about 10 minutes to do. And it's so much better than the can. The only place that we generally experiment is with dessert. And I love to bake. And I have so many recipes that I want to try that I just can't settle on one thing, one recipe that I do the same thing every year. I want to try new things. So this year I am trying a recipe from a current issue of Southern Living. I had seen it on the newsstand, and then my mom actually had it with her when she came to visit a few weeks ago and left it with me. And this is for, I don't remember exactly what it's called, but it's like salted caramel chocolate pecan pie, I think, something along those lines. And it's apparently kind of a combination between a fudge pie and a traditional pecan pie. And it's got pecans on the top with the salted caramel sauce poured on top. And it looks amazing. Not sure what mine will look like, but we'll see. And I will post pictures on the blog and I will give an update to it next week. I had an idea for another dessert that I would like to try based on a dessert I made last year for Christmas. It's kind of like a better than sex cake. It has just a regular cake mix where you poke holes in it and put a mixture of like sweetened condensed milk and something else. There are lots of variations on this recipe. This one, I have an idea to use the pumpkin spice creamer. Pumpkin spice creamer and some other combination, maybe caramel and Heath. I don't know, but I really want to try that, so I may end up making an extra dessert sometime over the weekend. Things that are making me happy. Well, one is Thanksgiving planning, because I love to think about food. Other things that are making me happy, cold weather. Houston, our weather is crazy. It is very often warm for Thanksgiving, and often on Christmas even, it will be fairly warm. And we don't get much of a winter. And I'm actually kind of okay with that. After a while, I do get tired of the cold weather. I would, however, prefer cold weather to the hot weather we have during the summer. But the first cold front that comes through, I just love. And we've had a couple of cold fronts, but the weather this past few days, it's been just very crisp and cold, and I just love it. And it is actually supposed to stay cold through Thanksgiving. And I don't even remember the last time we had a Thanksgiving that was actually had cool weather. So I'm very excited about that. Yay for cold weather. The other things making me happy, and don't judge, but Christmas music is making me happy. Every year, I resist. My husband and my kids like to start, or no, my husband and my daughter like to start listening to Christmas music. They would probably inch it up to Halloween if they could, but I try to resist until at least we used to be good and we could hold off until the afternoon of Thanksgiving. But this year they managed to sneak it in, and they've been playing it for a few days now, and I finally gave in, and I really like it. It's just music, after all, and so I'm enjoying it, especially this year, where there's one less week between Christmas, one fewer week between Christmas and Thanksgiving, and I don't get as much time to listen to it. I am going to let myself enjoy the Christmas music. I actually need to clean off the music on my iPhone and loaded up with Christmas music. That is making me happy. So what's making you happy this week? Feel free to comment on the blog, or if you want to follow me on Twitter. I didn't mention Twitter. I'm Summer Newland, but I'm not on that very often. Send me a message in Ravelry, post on Instagram, and tag me. I'd love to hear what's making you happy this week. For those of you in the United States, have a happy Thanksgiving. If you're traveling, safe travels. For the rest of you, have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week.